This is Dave Bunnell, and we're beginning a study of the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. This will be the study of chapter 1, and Lord willing, we'll continue on through the book after this, and you'll be able to hear those studies on the same website from which you downloaded this one, or hear it at the same source you heard this one. And we're looking in Daniel together to see some things that are really valuable for our lives, for our walk with God. The book of Daniel tells a lot of things that are prophesied about things to come, and it also shows us through the life of Daniel and others how we are to live until those things come, how we're to occupy ourselves and the kind of people God wants to make of us. As we look in chapter 1, we're going to see that Daniel, at a young age, set a course for himself that would honor God no matter what. And we're going to see how much blessed of God Daniel's life was. Daniel's faithfulness made it possible for God to bless him. God's faithfulness made it possible for Daniel to be faithful in all things. And what we're going to see here in Daniel is a wonderful servant of God, but it's because he was a wonderful servant of a wonderful God who realized how wonderful God is, that he was able to be and become everything that God wanted him to be. And we want to learn the things that Daniel knew from God, from his communion with him, from his close relationship with him, from his unbreaking trust in that God who's worthy of such trust and such devotion. We want to learn the things Daniel knew and experience the things Daniel experienced, because it was a life of great influence on the people around him. Daniel served through a few kingdoms and had more effect on the world of his day and the world of our day than all the kings he served under combined. And that was because of the God he served, and the God he served faithfully. Let's look at this chapter 1 and see how, as a very young man, facing a situation that the temptation couldn't have been stronger to turn his back on God, and yet he held strong in the faith. And we'll learn from that. Here in chapter 1 we see in the beginning here that it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and laid siege to it. The Lord handed Jehoiakim, king of Judah, over to him, along with some of the vessels from the house of God. Nebuchadnezzar carried them to the land of Babylon, to the house of his God, and put the vessels in the treasury of his God. The king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his court officials, to bring some of the Israelites from the royal family and from the nobility, young men without any physical defect, good-looking, suitable for instruction in all wisdom, knowledge, and perceptive and capable of serving in the king's palace, and to teach them the Chaldean language and literature. The king assigned them daily provisions from the royal food and from the wine that he drank. They were to be trained for 3 years, and at the end of the time they were to serve in the king's court. Among them, from the descendants of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them different names. To Daniel he gave the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Daniel determined that he would not defile himself. We'll stop there for a moment and just say, let's look at what's happening in Daniel's life. Daniel's from the nobility of Israel. He's from someone in a royal, regal-type position in Israel. We don't know the specifics of that, but he was chosen by Nebuchadnezzar because of his bloodline along with other things about him. So he was raised living in a condition of some privilege, of some honor in his homeland. But his homeland has turned its back upon God. Yet Daniel didn't. And Daniel finds himself now in a situation where he's suffering the consequences of people that had turned their back on God when apparently he never did. He was faithful to his God, and now he's suffering the consequences of people who didn't, a land that is falling apart because of those who have turned their backs on a God that deserved to be worshipped and honored. And God's hand of protection has been lifted from his land, and they've been taken into exile, the ones that survived. And the instruments of worship of God have been taken from the temple treasury and put into the temple treasury of a false god in a foreign land. Daniel's been taken to this foreign land, a place he didn't want to live, given no hope of ever going home, no hope of ever having the life that he had planned for himself, no hope of ever living the way that he wanted to live. He's been taken to be a slave of a foreign king, named, changed in honor of a foreign god, being told to eat the foods that are sacrificed to idols of foreign gods and that violate the law of his god for his people at the time in what they were to eat and to drink. Being told to abandon his language, abandon his name, abandon his identity, abandon his culture, abandon his God, to take on this new life that he's been given. And the temptation is so strong for him to just turn his back on God. Many of his peers apparently did that. Perhaps they said to themselves, God's abandoned us. He's not letting us have the life we wanted to live. We were supposed to be royalty. We were supposed to live happily the rest of our lives and have people serve us, and now we're turned into slaves to serve another king. We might as well just turn our backs on God. He's turned his back on us. No more serving this God. We're going to violate the dietary laws. We're going to go ahead and eat the food sacrificed to idols. We're going to go ahead and take the new names. We're going to go ahead and take the new culture, the new language, and we're going to try to work our way in this system up to becoming more powerful in it and forget God. He's forgotten us. No way we're serving him anymore. But the peer pressure on Daniel wasn't the only thing. He was threatened with life many times in his life, including this time as a very young man. He wasn't being told, change your name, your culture, and your God. He was being told, change your name, your culture, and your God, or else. This is the king commanding it, with the power of the sword available to him. And he's able to come to these young men and say, look, you need to follow my God. I conquered your God. You see these things from the temple of your God? I just took them and he did nothing. Who is your God? I've conquered your God. You will worship and follow me. I'm going to drink the wines that are offered to my gods out of these chalices and vessels that you thought were to honor your God. Who is this God of Israel? I'm more powerful than he is. You will follow me. You will learn my language and culture. You will learn the literature of my people, and you will serve me if you're good enough. And if not, I can just do away with you. Your life means nothing to me. It's fine with me if you choose to die instead of serving me. I'll just get somebody else anyway. And there's Daniel, a young man facing every kind of pressure imaginable, from every kind of direction imaginable, to be tempted to what we're all tempted to do, not trust God. but trust man or do what man tells us to do or follow our own hearts and our own fleshly desires and things and try to make our own way the way we want to live our lives, do what we want to do. And there's Daniel facing that. What's he going to do? Is he going to take that new name that honors a false god, Bel? Or is he going to continue honoring Yahweh, his God? Is he going to eat the foods that are honoring to his God or the foods that are honoring to the idols they've been sacrificed to? Is he going to follow the ways of the pagans that have conquered his land when God's hand of protection was lifted because his people were unfaithful? Or is he going to stay faithful to his God and trust that his God is so good, so mighty, and so powerful that no matter what happens to him, his God's worthy of his trust, worthy of his service, worthy of his honor, worthy of his faith? What's he going to do? What's Daniel going to do? What would you and I do? Look, I'm not going to, as I teach you this book, pretend that I think I'm strong enough that I would have reacted in these situations the way Daniel did. Because I don't have any reason for faith in myself that I would. What I've got is plenty of reason to be humble. If I look at my own self, my own character, my own record, my own life, I got all kinds of reason to be humble. Not that I always am humble, but I've got plenty of reason to be. And I don't know, maybe at this point in my life I could stand as strong as Daniel did when I was the age that he was. When this was happening, though, I wasn't standing for God. I wasn't facing anywhere near the pressure Daniel was facing, and yet I was rarely standing for God. When I was in high school, if somebody was mocking me because I was a pastor's son, I would try to deflect that. I might even talk in a way dishonoring God in order to try to separate myself from that, in order to not be teased or not be shut out. So as I teach through this book of Daniel and study it with you, I can't exalt myself in any way. I don't have anything to stand on in that. But what I am going to do is look at Daniel and look at the example that God has given us through him and try to see with you that it is possible to trust in God no matter how much pressure is put on us not to, internally and externally. That it is possible to honor God no matter how much pressure is put on us not to, and that God will be faithful to those that are faithful to him no matter what happens. Daniel's never going to see his homeland again. He's never going to go back to what he thought he was going to have as a young man. But he's still going to be faithful to his God. And his God is always going to be faithful to him. And he's going to use his life mightily. He's going to use his life in a way that it's still affecting our generation. And that's what I want for my life. I hope that as we study this book together, it's going to stir up in you a wanting for that in your life. Maybe you're young like Daniel was here in chapter 1. Maybe you're older like he's going to be in some of our later studies. But no matter where you are in your life, you can encounter Daniel's God. You can learn to trust in him the way Daniel did, and you can reap the same results of enjoying God's faithfulness through every circumstance and letting God use your life as a light that shines and that shows everybody how wonderful our God is, so that even all these pagans around us will acknowledge the greatness of our God. Because that's what's going to happen again and again and again in Daniel's life. Pagans who worship false gods are going to have to acknowledge the greatness of Daniel's God when he's faithful to his God and God is faithful to him. So verse 8, Daniel determines, purposes in his heart, that he will not defile himself. Not with the king's food and with the wine he drank. It's not like any other food was being offered to him at that point. So Daniel's decision here is, eat this defiling stuff, or maybe don't get to eat. What do I do? Do I trust God to handle that situation? What am I going to eat if I don't eat the food they give me? I'm locked up here. I got nowhere to go. I got no way to eat. It's either this or nothing. What do I do? Can I trust God with that situation? Daniel determined not to defile himself and to trust God with it. He knew something we all know, whether we're willing to live by it or not. He knew that, yes, indeed, God could be trusted in that situation. If you know the Lord Jesus, you know that about God too. But will you trust? Will you live by that? Or will you follow your heart, follow your flesh, and follow the world? When the world says, no, 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 you're not doing things God's way, I don't like that, I won't stand for it, will we still trust God and do things His way? It's not easy. But God is worthy of our trust when we face those situations. He's worthy of our trust, and He will be faithful to us. Daniel determined that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine he drank. So he asked permission from the chief official, it says, not to defile himself. He went to this official and said, look, I can't eat these foods. I can't drink these drinks. They're honoring false gods. I am Daniel. I am a servant of Yahweh. I don't want to defile myself. I want to continue living for my God. Will you let me have other foods instead of these ones? I want to serve my God. He's worthy of my service. Even if I'm at risk, He's worthy of my faithfulness. And He's faithful to me. He's good to me. He'd be good to you if He was your God too. So I'm asking you, don't tell me to defile myself. Let me keep living for my God. Now, see, Daniel's God is in control of all things, in control of the hearts and minds of those that don't follow him, just as he's in control of the hearts and minds of those who do. So it says in verse 9, God had granted Daniel favor and compassion from the chief official. God had put in this chief official's heart a desire to bless and favor Daniel and to give him what he wanted. Wasn't that this official's gods wanted Daniel to be blessed? This official's gods were demon spirits. The steal, kill, and destroy types. But God had given Daniel favor in this man's heart. The true and living God had done that. But there was an obstacle yet to overcome, and that's this man's fear. He says to Daniel, though, my lord the king assigned your food and drink. I'm afraid of what would happen if he saw your faces looking thinner than those of the other young men your age. You would endanger my life with the king. He says, Daniel, look, I like you. I really want to give you what you want. I don't know why. He doesn't understand God's given him favor. Daniel favor with him. But I want to give you what you want, but look, you're asking a lot of me, Daniel. You're asking me to risk my life. I don't think I can do that, Daniel. That's too much. The king will take my head off. If he sees you looking weak because you didn't eat of these best foods that our nation has to offer. If you don't eat of these and you look weak, the king's going to kill me for that, for disobeying him. He assigned these foods for you. He said this is what you're to be fed. I go feeding you something else and you get me in trouble. It's over for me. I can't do that. I want really bad to do as you say. Verse 11, so Daniel said to the guard whom the chief official had assigned to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then examine our appearance and the appearance of the young men who are eating the king's food, and deal with your servants based on what you see. Daniel's showing wisdom that his God has given him. He's saying, look, it's 3 years before we're going to be presented to the king, according to his timeline. Just do a 10-day test. See if my God doesn't come through for me. Let me eat foods that are honoring to him, not dishonoring to him. And then just look me over. Daniel's saying, I believe my God is going to bless the health of my body if my heart and soul are right with him. I believe that it's not man's way that's going to bless the health of my body. If I turn my back on God and I follow man's way, I don't believe that's what's going to bless my body. You know, here in Romania where I live, a lot of times when there are health problems, people say, go to a practitioner of witchcraft. You might have a curse on you that's causing these health problems. Go hire one of the gypsy witches to do her chants over you and you might be healed. And sometimes even people that are associated with Christ are tempted to go do that. And the world will tell you, go do things the world's way. If you want blessing, if you want health and wellness, if you want other blessings, go do things the world's way. You know, they may tell you to do that. And there, in America, where most of the people that are listening to my voice now are, there are ways that can happen there too. They might say, you desperately want a child and you can't have one? Well, take drugs that will cause you to conceive 7 or 8 children at a time and then abort 4 or 5 of them. And let the others live. Or do in vitro fertilization, which causes the death of most of the embryos that are conceived, and try to get a baby that way. And some parents have said, no, that's the world's way to reach the point of getting the blessing of having the child I want. I'm just going to rely on my God. And the doctors have said, no, well, you can't have a child on your own. You're physically incapable. And I've known couples that said, but I'm going to do it God's way anyway. And they did. And God blessed them and gave them a child that was a miracle. There's never an end to the times and the ways that we can face these kinds of situations where we're wanting blessing, where we're wanting health, or when we're wanting money, or we're wanting the meeting of our needs, and the world says, here's how you do that. And God says, if you do it that way, you're violating my law. And what are we going to do when we face that situation? Are we going to follow the world's way? Or are we going to follow God's way and trust Him to do what the world says He can't do? The world says, no, Daniel. You're going to look weak if you don't eat this best diet that we made available to you. You're not going to be strong enough. You're not going to be able to compete with the other guys. And Daniel says, no, I will trust in my God. I will do things his way. And I will let him supernaturally overcome what might be a natural protein deficiency in my body because I didn't eat any of your meats that were sacrificed to idols. I will trust him to make my body physically strong his way, even though there's no physically possible way for that to happen. Yes, if I eat nothing but vegetables and water, indeed I would be weaker than somebody that has a broad diet that includes meats and other things. If only the physical mattered. But Daniel recognizes that the spiritual matters more than the physical. That honoring God matters more than following the ways of the world. And so he says, just test us for 10 days. He says to this guard, I believe you're going to like the results. I believe my God's going to bless. I believe he's going to provide. I believe he's going to do what I need if I honor him. Because that's the kind of God I serve, who honors those who honor him, who blesses those who bless his name. I want to continue living for him. Just test us. Put my God to the test. I'm not afraid to put my God out before you and say he's faithful because I know that he actually is. And I'm not worried in the back of my mind that you're going to come back and say, huh, you were wrong, your God failed you. Because that's not what my God's going to do. He's not going to fail me. In fact, he's going to make your statements out to be lies. When you said my God couldn't do this, he's going to do it. He's going to show you. When you said my God can't help those who honor him, when you told me to go the world's way, when you told me to ignore God and to do things in an ungodly way in order to be blessed, my God's going to bless me because I did things in a godly way. And you're going to see that my God is all-powerful, that my God is faithful. You just put it to the test and see. My God is going to come through for me, Daniel says. Just wait and see. Your life is not going to be endangered before the king because you're going to see that my God can make me stronger and healthier looking than even all the best foods can make these guys of my peers who've been brought over here from Israel with me, who are turning their backs on my God and saying, yes, I'll follow your way. My God is going to bless me and make me better off than they are. You'll see. Just put it to the test. This was wisdom God had given Daniel to say these things to the guard. Daniel's a very prayerful man, as we're going to see as we go throughout this book. He communes with God very closely in his life. He draws his strength from God. He trusts in God. He honors God. And we're going to see God come through for him just as Daniel trusted he would. He says to the king, or to this servant of the king in verse 13, then examine our appearance after that 10 days. And the appearance of the young men who are eating the king's food, and deal with your servants based on what you see. He's willing to trust his God to help him not defile himself. He's willing to let this servant of the king just examine the situation for himself. Verse 14, he agreed with them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. God had given him the wisdom to ask for it and favor with this man to agree to it. Verse 15, at the end of 10 days they looked better and healthier than all the young men who were eating the king's food. You know, these Israelites who had been brought in and captive and had agreed to eat the king's food, they were turning their backs on God by doing it. And they were not blessed by that. Daniel and his three friends that he's influencing and helping to stand strong look stronger and better and healthier than they did. Verse 16, so the guard continued to remove their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Isn't that interesting? The king's still sending his food for them to eat. Throughout that time, the guard had to keep removing it and giving them the vegetables instead. But he was willing to do that because he was seeing that the results were better in their lives anyway, as they honored God. And this guard is saying to himself, this diet of vegetables only, it's not as good as the diet being given to the others, and yet they continue to look healthier and better. There must be something to this God Daniel serving, if he can do that. Maybe he's the real God. You see, that's what happens when we honor God. And God blesses our publicly honoring him. Then the people look and see how God blesses our honoring of him. And they say, huh, he is real. That's what's happening in this guard's life. And so he continues removing these foods and wines that have been associated with false gods and giving them these vegetables and watching them stay healthier and better. And that continues to happen in every area and every aspect of life for these four. Look, verse 17, God gave these four young men knowledge and understanding in every kind of literature and wisdom. Daniel also understood visions and dreams of every kind. So God goes above and beyond, not just to excel in the things that the king was trying to have them taught, but beyond that, understanding visions and dreams of every kind. At the end of the time that the king had said to present them, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king interviewed them, and among all of them, no one was found equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, what's the difference between Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and all of those others? All of those others said, yes, God's turned his back on me, I'll turn my back on him, I'll follow the Babylonian way. And those four young men said, I may be in Babylon, but I am a man of the true and living God, and I will follow him here, there, or anywhere. And no one was found to be their equal. This pagan king finds that these four men who would not abandon the God that he thinks he's conquered in Israel is better in every way for service to him than the ones who are now following his God, in whose temple treasury he has put all the things he stole from the temple of Daniel's God. And so they, these four, are chosen to serve in the king's court. God raised Daniel up to the royal nobility service that he had lost in Israel, because he was faithful to God. And God gave him back in Babylon what he had lost in Israel because of his faithfulness. God raised Daniel to a point of influence because of his faithfulness. And Daniel's going to affect the nation of Babylon more than Nebuchadnezzar is. Nebuchadnezzar may be the king, but Daniel's going to influence the land more as his servant, because he's serving the true and living God. Verse 20, in every matter of wisdom and understanding that the king consulted them about, he found them 10 times better than all the diviner priests and mediums in his entire kingdom. In other words, the whole religious system of Babylon is now pitted against Daniel and his three friends and their God, and they win every contest by a factor of 10 times better. And Nebuchadnezzar, throughout his reign, is going to find, I can't go to these guys and get help. I need Daniel and his guys to help, because their one God is better than all of mine put together. Verse 21, a summary verse. Daniel remained there until the first king of the first year of King Cyrus, Daniel remained there. Kings will come and go through times in Daniel's life, and Daniel will remain. He'll influence one kingdom after another. He'll have an effect on nations, because he'll be faithful to his God as he has purposed in his heart to be in this chapter 1. So there's the application for us. Do we want a verse about our life, a summary verse about our life, to say, and so he remained, and so she remained? People come and go. Lives are wasted on nonsense, following the ways of the world, doing things the world's way instead of God's, trusting in the world and in man and in ourselves and in the systems of this world instead of trusting in God. But there are a select few among us. I want to be one of them. By God's grace, I hope to become one of them someday, who put aside all of the world's ways, who say, I will serve my God. I will obey my God no matter what the pressure not to. I will trust my God no matter how bleak it looks, even if it looks like he's failed me, even if it looks like he's not going to give me the life I had always dreamed of, even if he calls me to a place I don't want to be, to do things I don't want to do, to work a job under somebody that I don't view worthy of my service, to have to obey a boss that I don't think is good enough, to have to live a life that I don't think is what I wanted it to be, to have to face the opposition every time I try to stand for him, to have to face lions if I want to stand for him, to have to face the sword if I want to stand for him, to have to face mocking if I want to serve for him, to have to face loneliness if I want to serve him. Even if that's the kind of life I want to live, I don't want to waste my life. I want to live my life for God. I believe he's worthy of my trust, and I'm going to trust him. And my life will be fruit that remains. When I leave this earth, my influence will remain. Let's commit together right now, in this moment, you and me. However young or old you are, I'm 35, maybe you're in the half of my audience that's younger than that, or maybe you're in the half that's older. Let's commit right now to the Lord, to trust him in all things, to know that he's faithful, that he's going to come through for us, for you and me. And let's say to ourselves, we're going to commit ourselves not to defile ourselves with any of the ways of this world. We're going to do things God's way, and we're going to trust him to come through for us, no matter what happens. And we're going to let him make of our lives something fruitful, so that someday, if he tarries and we live out the rest of our lives on this earth, somebody will be able to say, he remained. He was established. Wherever God put him, he honored God, and God honored him. And he stayed close to God, and God stood by his side and used him as a shining light that showed everybody around him. Even all the pagans and wicked people around him had to say, his God is real. Because look what he did in his life. Let's have that life that Daniel had. You and me. Let's start now the way Daniel started, by saying, whatever I've done in the past, right now I commit myself not to be defiled with everything the kings of this world offer me, but but to follow God's way. And let's continue studying, Lord willing, together through the rest of this book in the days and weeks to come, and follow Daniel's example and the example of his friends each step of the way as we look forward to the coming return of our King that's going to be prophesied in this book too. And just let God make of our lives what He wants. Won't that be wonderful? Hope you're enjoying the study so far and being blessed by it. Lord willing, there will be the rest of it to come. And you can come back to the source you got this study from to hear it. May God bless you today.